Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we tackle another one big question episode, this time on the importance and use of special tests in our examination process. We're going to talk about why we still use them and why you should be using them in addition to some of your functional diagnostic tests as well.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We're here with Mike Scaduto, Dave Tilley, Lenny Macrina, still missing Dan Pope from the show for another week. He's been in Brazil for weeks.
In sabbatical.
On a sabbatical, but we're here. We got Kevin K. Mac McNamara. That's actually got a good little...
K-Mac McNamara.
When you put it all together, pretty good.
Phenomena.
K-Mac from Franklin Pierce University, but the other one in Phoenix, not the one in New Hampshire.
Remote campus.
Right?
Is it like a warehouse, some random
like
warehouse
Phoenix University.
Is that an online school?
It's like a shed.
Is this online? I don't get it. Pizzal went to a technical school. He's got an online school.
Well...
Phoenix University.
We're going alternative PT schools.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Home study course.
Hopefully we get some more great questions in this episode. We'll see. K-Mac, take it away. What do we got, buddy?
All right, we got Nick from Long Island. Hey, Mike, I'm a PT student in my last year, and we are told constantly to treat impairments and dysfunctions that are present in the patient. With that being said, how much weight do you put into the results of your special tests, and how do they really help you determine your plan of care for the patient? P.S. Neurobiomechanical, great word.
Mechanotransductive neurobiomechanical.
You wrote
epigenetics.
It wasn't good. The epigenetics manual. All right, that was a good question. All right, so in school they're talking about treating impairments and dysfunctions. Is that what he said? So he's got a question about special tests because I've had a bunch. I've actually been putting a bunch of videos of special tests that we do here on my social media profiles lately because I literally open up a textbook just like you guys are reading, and you open like to the shoulder chapter, and there's like 200 special tests. Most of them stink. Most of them don't mean anything clinical. Most of them aren't really, I don't know, I don't do them exactly the way the textbooks do. You know, once you have some experience, I think you start realizing that, you know, there's, I don't know, that you know, the textbooks aren't always written by people that treat people. I don't know. But there's, you know, something along those lines where the special tests where you don't necessarily have to be comprehensive with everything you do. You just have to do the right ones for the right people. So that being said, yeah, lots of people, most people on Instagram are pretty young clinicians. They chirp at me and kind of say things like, you know, what, you know, why do special tests and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, we all do special tests. Who would like to start about the importance of special tests?
I mean, I think it kind of depends on what you're looking at. What does the patient come to you for? So say if they have a traumatic knee injury that they just had like a couple days ago and you do a positive Lachman's, positive anterior drawer, like that's definitely going to influence how I treat that patient. Probably going to send them to get an MRI if they haven't already.
It's a lot of fear you're creating. Be careful
well,
with that.
Yeah, like you want to rule out if they tore their ACL, right? So I would put a lot of stock.
Blew it out.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god, you can't say you blew it out. That's so much fear.
I think I said tore.
Oh.
Put words in my mouth now.
Just kidding.
But I would put a lot of stock in my special test, and I would refer out to get imaging.
Right.
Whereas someone with in a baseball player with maybe gradual onset of shoulder pain, they've been throwing a ton, and I do a lot of special tests, and maybe some of them are positive, some of them are negative, and it's not really clear what's going on. Like maybe then I'm looking at things that are a little more obvious, like are they stiff, are they weak, things like that. So I think it definitely depends. Sometimes I'll put more stock in special tests. Sometimes I'll, you know, put less stock.
Yeah,
great like point. So good first one. Maybe we'll start like a little list here. Point number one is you do special tests to know maybe when to refer to a physician. So orthopedically, you know, a good example, ACL Lachman test. you know, some, you know, the person sees you first, you know, there's a lot of direct access now, those types of things. So you want to find a pathology that may require either further diagnostics or maybe evaluation by a physician. That's a great one. Mm-hmm. Who else wants to go?
I think I agree. I think the other big one for me is exercise modification. So somebody comes in with a shoulder issue and you're saying, is this supraspinatus? Is this biceps tendon, AC joint? I mean, like, many different exercises stress different parts of the shoulder or knee or whatever. And if you don't understand what maybe is there one or two big pain generators and you just give them a general exercise program, giving someone full cans, right, who has a supraspinatus tendinopathy might be too much for them versus if they have something else, you might get away with that. It's actually really good for them. So I think a lot of times, Dan especially, I've learned a lot of, especially like benching variations and pressing variations, like stress different parts of the shoulder. So I think that's a huge part for people is educating them on how to modify their workout program around what's the issue, and I think that's a big deal.
I like that. Yeah. So a lot of people would say, does it matter anyway? You're just exercise is the best medicine and stuff like that. But again, yeah, special tests maybe help you identify maybe some exercises to emphasize a little bit more and some to avoid, right? Which is a great example. You know, again, maybe get an example, again, I'm piggybacking off that, is even impingement tests, which are, again, very gross, generic tests. I don't know what they're doing. But if you have a positive, like, kind of near-type test and then a positive and a negative Hawkins-Kennedy and vice versa, that tells you a lot about potentially the structures that are irritable, right?
AC versus
It could be AC, it could be subacromial, it could be coracoacromial arch. You know, you may want to maybe avoid some cross-body movements if it's that versus in that plane. So again, it's helping you make a better program. Okay.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I think classic that everybody goes after the shoulder as all the tests that are overwhelmingly not good. But like Mike said, Lachman's is a great one. Valgus varus of the knee is going to be another great one for MCL, LCL. There's some good tests for UCL that we use a lot. I've written about that. And milking sign and other things, valgus extension overload. But I think overall, for me, I'm using it to try to prove to the patient almost that and put them in positions that they say replicates their symptoms and see if I can replicate it and ask them, is that your pain? Because they're going to feel different things when you do that. So if I can replicate it, and I know what structures are probably stressing more than others, then it may help to identify and hone in what may be going on a little bit more so than just kind of a vague diagnosis. Because trust me, that person that's sitting in front of you, they want a diagnosis. They want to know what is going on. They want to know what structures are going on. Is it labrum versus rotator cuff? And I'm going to do my best to give them some answer. And oftentimes my answer is, I don't know. We're going to treat it the same way. But you're looking like this because they've been told go to PT, or like you said, we have a lot of direct access here. They don't know. They're freaking out that they have shoulder pain, and I'm trying to give them a little better understanding of what's going on so I can also see what other impairments they have going on, like your question said, and then I can treat those more so than anything else.
Right, and then I would just piggyback that and say, essentially, it's not just the what, but maybe the how much.
Right.
So how irritable are they? So is this just a mild irritation that maybe we can work through a little bit, or is this a significant irritation that we need to take a step back from? Right. So there's lots of special tests, right? Some rule out some big crazy things. Some are a little bit less specific, right? But you know, some things are going to be more obvious, but I don't think that rules out that we use it.
I was just going to say, you can also use them to measure progress. We talked about that before, especially maybe something like a spondy, where you'd want to see them relatively pain-free on a lot of hyperextension special tests before you progress to maybe more of a strengthening-based or a return-to-sport program. Same thing with the elbow, I guess. Maybe you want to be pain-free on the table with all the special tests before you even start considering throwing.
Right.
Something like that. So you can use it to kind of measure sensitivity, and you can measure progress.
Right. It may not necessarily change your treatment again, but it's going to give you a lot of valuable information about where they are and if you're ready to progress to that next step.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting. We always say here, I mean, this is kind of part of our system here and the way we kind of do our performance-based stuff, but we always do two things, right? We look at the structural and the functional issues or the diagnoses, right? So just because, like, somebody has some functional limitations and we are going to work on that, that doesn't mean we ignore the structural ones. And oftentimes our treatments are put together anyway. You may want to work on the acute inflammation and irritation and pain of the structural pathology, but realize that that may not be the underlying reason why they're there, and we still have to address the functional ones.
Yeah.
So again, you know, it's still putting it together. So again, I don't know if people just like to argue on the internet or if it's just like a bunch of inexperienced clinicians that are making bold statements that some of these things don't make sense, but there's definitely a lot of really valuable ways to put that together.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're missing that out, you know, one big one we didn't talk about, but we have touched upon in the podcast every now and then, is sometimes too, when somebody has pain and I can't figure it out on my special test orthopedically, I start thinking we're missing something. And is it non-orthopedic? Is it something we have to refer out for some other potential, you know, bigger issue that we don't like, right? So, you know, again, I think there's, man, we, I don't know, would we just list like six no-brainer reasons why you still do special tests, even though like it may not completely direct your treatment? I think it's really, really short-sighted to say that there's no use for them.
Yeah, it's like everything, man. It's used as needed. You know what I mean? It's not something you're going to like. You know, you have to put something through 20 special tests if they're super acute and you're just doing it because the textbook said so and someone's super flared up. But also, like, if you're still kind of curious and you're trying to figure out what it is, it's good. If someone comes in and they don't want to hear, like, the word labrum makes them jump through the roof, then you're probably not going to do as many special tests and talk in that language. You just apply it to that person in that context. And it's like, it's always about thinking critically over the layer of academics. Like, you can't just blast all these things on people and hope that, like, the answer magically falls out.
Right, right. And I think the other negative, too, is, I don't even know if anyone really does this, but I think maybe the issue with the internet debates are, look, if you have a positive near, you don't just go to the corner and grab the near impingement protocol and give the exercise. I mean, I don't know anyone that does that, but like, maybe people do that, but like, I don't know. I would like to think we're better than that, but I if that happened, yeah, that's not good.
On social media, you think that most people
do. Oh my God, that's what you think everybody does. Everybody based on
is
social
cookie
media.
Cutter and, yeah, but whatever. Yeah. I think the other thing I would add is the person asked the question, I think was a DPT student, right?
Right.
Still, I definitely found, you know, in my first 6 months, a year out of school, I maybe did more special tests. I did like a ton of special tests. I did like all the special tests. And it just made me more confused, I think. But as I've grown a little bit, you start to do fewer special tests that are probably more applicable to like the person in front of me.
Yeah.
I think that's, that makes it a little bit easier. If I think new grads and students that we work with tend to do a lot of like ton of special tests, and then it just kind of muddies the results a little bit.
You definitely
don't really
confuse
know
yourself.
Where to go.
You find the tests that you know that you think are most beneficial, most sensitive, and
especially in your hands. There's look, McGee, super comprehensive. I think does Chad Cook have a book too? I mean, those are amazing resources by some really, really experienced people. Those are great resources, but they're meant to be textbooks. They're meant to be comprehensive.
Yeah.
Your eval doesn't mean you do 30 special tests, you know. But at the beginning, when you're young, you kind of do because you don't know what else to do. And then you start getting better, and then you start realizing that different patient populations. Also, you know, there's a bunch of special tests that I'm not going to do in a baseball player because they're not specific to a baseball player. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's tons of different ways to do it. So, you know, I mean, we clearly all use special tests. We think you should use special tests. We think you should get good at special tests. Just realize that obviously that it's all just part of a comprehensive, you know, evaluation process. So it's not done in isolation. So awesome, right? K-Mac, you agree?
Agree.
K-Mac's in.
I'm in.
Love it. All right, good. So we're good. So awesome. Good episode. That was a good question. I like some of these big question episodes because I think this is a good one on special tests.
Chunk.
Special tests are getting a little beat down lately, and you know I think there's you know there's always a reason to you know to do some of these things, and there's always probably a middle ground. So great question. Head to MikeReynolds.com and click on that podcast link, and you can keep asking us some more questions like that. And head to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, and we'll see you in a future episode. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReynolds.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReynolds.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.